Who are you?
They call me Dr. Love.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
I'm going to drink a lot of beer and stay out all night.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
Welcome to Big Bummy Head, the Port Brewing Show. And we got some great, great, great beers from Port Brewing. Good stuff, man. I'm telling you, these guys, they know how to make a beer. And Rick, you got these out in Denver. These are San Diego beers, though.
The Cali
right,
beers?
They're now distributing them along with Tommy Arthur from Lost Abbey.
Yeah, and I was looking at how that all sort of came about, and I got the background on Port Brewing in 1992. And this, I thought this was odd. In 1992, there weren't that many options when it came to locally crafted, freshly brewed beers in San Diego, which is like, it's a mecca for beer, second only to Denver. And it says, as such, Vince and Gina Marsaglia started brewing at home, making more than they could drink, started sharing with friends, and in October, they stuck a 7-barrel brewery into the first pizza port, and by 1993, the first handcrafted beer was brewed on the premises in Solana Beach pizza port.
I thought you were going to say they stuck a 7-barrel brewery up in the front bedroom.
Yeah, that would that'd be good. So Solana Beach Pizza Port became famous for fresh hoppy beers, promoting the addition of two more pizza ports in Carlsbad and San Clemente. And even with three brewing systems, still not enough. So they said, well, where can we get more of your beer? So they had to expand, and they, in 2006, started up Port Brewing Company, independent of Pizza Port, and bought the Old Stone Brewing facility in San Marcos, and now they're brewing a ton. And their sister site, sister beers, is the Lost Abbey Ales with our friend Tommy Arthur, man in the helm at that. And good stuff, huh?
It is good stuff. We're starting off with the Shark Attack Double Red Ale. Has a kind of an fun little thing on the side of the bottle. It says, is it really safe to paddle out in our waters? It's impossible to know for sure. What we do know is that this is an incredibly distinctive and bold American red ale that attacks your taste buds with lethal amounts of hops, which are balanced by a boatload of crystal malt. If none of this phases you, then maybe swimming in the shark-filled waters is exactly where you belong. We'll see you in the lineup.
And this is a delicate little flower at 9% alcohol, right?
Wow.
Yeah, hardly hoppy at all.
Hardly, just barely. A slight tingle, huh?
Well, I was telling you, it didn't have much of a red ale characteristic because the hop. You know, you just taste hop.
Yeah.
Now, it looks like a red ale. But
it does. And the actually, I've got some stats on Shark Bite. This is a double version of Shark Bite. So it's called Shark Attack. And their Shark Bite is made with a two-row and English crystal malt. So pretty, you know, mainstream. Mm-hmm. Centennial and Cascade hops. Again, pretty straightforward. And just a California ale yeast. So all things considered, it's a pretty straightforward beer, but the Shark Bite weighs in at 5.5%, whereas this is 9%. So they jacked it up, and they hopped it up too. So, yeah, it is an interesting taste because I've never been a fan of beers named after colors.
Yeah.
But this is really good, and for kicking us off, I think we got us a good start on the hops, right?
Amen, brother.
Yeah, and I think that they had a couple of shark attacks. And we were wondering if they were going to change the name of the beer during the summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been doing this. Now, this is not a regular beer. This is one of their special slash seasonal beers, right, that they put out, according to the website. And we've got a couple more. They're, oddly enough, all hoppy beers, which is a good thing. And, Rick, you were saying we need to kind of mention our hiatus. I think what we've been doing is if you listen to any of the last shows, you know that our livers were in desperate need of a rest from the GABF beating we took. It was a liver whipping as opposed to an ass whipping. And then Rick compounded the felony by going into the bowels of Coors.
He's that a was a good show, though.
He's a glutton for
people got a chance to listen to that because we had Anheuser-Busch, Miller, and Coors all represented.
Yeah, and when the fight breaks out and the stuff they say to each other, it's classic. You need to listen to it.
It's almost like what's going on with Ford, GM, and Chrysler right now. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, except probably a lot more fun. Now, but really, the last few shows have been pretty interesting, and we just talked to a bunch of people, didn't we? We had a good time with all these shows. So we had to take our drying out spell. Now we're back on it, getting back to our regular programming, and I guess we should segue into where our regular programming could be found. You can hear this podcast and a lot better ones at beersafari.com. It's a jungle of beer out there.
Amen.
And speaking of Beer Safari, one of our friends out there, Jeffrey T., the Good Beer Show, has just celebrated his fourth anniversary. He is the oldest beer podcast in the continental United States.
That deserves a little golf clap.
4 years, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
Congratulations.
It's still good.
He puts a lot of shows out, too. He never stops. He's a machine.
Yeah, he does.
Unlike the Brain Gravy that does
seven episodes, looking forward to number eight. So, hey, it's a new year coming up. They got to do eight. Yeah. But Jeffrey T., though, you know, everybody wants something on their birthday. And the older you get, the more stuff you get. And pretty soon you're just down to, like, food, beer, or sex. And so Jeffrey T. decided he wanted himself some porn. But not just any porn. He started a new website called Beer Porn. Named after, well, not naked beers, because where's the fun in that? But, like, Food Network, you know? The people who are so obsessed with it, it's called Food Porn. So he started this spot called beerporn.blogspot.com, and it's for people like ourselves and anybody else who likes a good beer to take a picture and write about whatever they feel like. There's no rules. And the thing has gone through the roof. Post after post after post. Rick's wrote one. I've wrote one. You're dragging your ass.
I'm sorry, man. I always bring up the rear. I'm a backdoor man, you know.
Oh, boy, yeah. Servant's entrance in the rear. That's why they call them butlers. So, now, the beerporn.blogspot.com is really, it was inspired. It was like one of those things that's like, why the hell didn't we think of that? You know, I mean, it was just it was so obvious, right? Why didn't we think of that? So anyway, so it's good stuff, man. I mean, it really is. It's cool to read about all that. And looking forward to see what's going to come out next from the Good Beer Show and all the rest of the folks on Beer Safari. We know one thing, though, right, Rick, that has come out just in time for the holidays.
Oh, our Beer Safari annual Christmas beer exchange video. Running at a cool 56 minutes this year.
Wow.
It's a long watch, but it's actually goes quite quickly. And I think that people have done their best to be artistic this year. So certainly Big Foamy Head. I'm pretty sure we're going to be up for a Tony or something for that.
Yeah.
Performance.
We kick off the 55 minutes. So really, once you get past 5 minutes, it's downhill from there. So
I figured we would be in the running for a Mempho.
A Mempho?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably send it in to Sundance is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. We'd probably win in a category, I'm sure. And then we could all go to the Sundance Film Festival.
There you go.
In Wyoming, right?
I don't know where the hell it is.
How about Cannes? We can go to take it to Cannes? Canes, whatever they call it over there on the French Riviera.
Yeah,
Cannes Film Festival.
If it was summertime, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's cold out here.
You know, those are topless beaches, right?
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Been there, seen that.
Mm. Hey, speaking of topless, how's the weather out there in your neck of the woods, Mr. Hagerbomber?
We've had snow on and off. It's been bitterly cold, actually. We had like -6 degrees the other day. So,
wow.
How about you guys?
It's like 72.
Yeah, and rain. It's warm and rainy and nasty.
You hear the weather 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
That's right. It's going to stay this way, though. It'll stick this way for like 2 weeks. So.
Then we'll have an ice storm.
Well, apparently,
all right, you guys testify about our Shark Attack Double Red.
The Shark Attack Double Red, getting us back on topic.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where you rate it?
I actually, you know, I'm kind of spooked about doing this because this was our leadoff beer. I'm going to put this at 7.5. I like it, but it's got some of that. I guess the red was kind of throwing me, and it's got a little bit of that bready sort of taste. I like it. I like it a lot. I would drink another one if I had it. But in the color, very nice. It is a dark kind of reddish, brownish red, a tan head, rings nicely around the glass.
Smells beautiful. Really does. It's a great one. I'm going to go about a 7.5, maybe an 8.
Okay.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah, I'm right in there.
Okay. And
nice color. And beautiful hops. No, I'm really becoming a real hop snob, so this is good.
Well, you know what we have to do, though? Our tradition we started during our drunken GABF show. We have to pair it with music.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
And I'm not drunk enough yet.
And I think this there's only one song that pairs with Shark Attack.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there. And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife. As old McHeath did, and he keeps it out of sight.
That was the obvious beer or music pairing.
Yep. Can't go wrong with that, right?
Nope.
Okay. And I couldn't find Bobby Darin, so that was Brian Setzer's version.
Really?
Mackdenoff. Yeah, it's pretty good.
He's a stray cat.
We're going to resurrect our drunken show after the Great American Beer Festival, then I have to call you Dick the Monk, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot our nicknames. Yeah, that's right. God,
we have Wandering Mike, and we don't know where that name came from.
No, Rick the Roman, we do know where that name
came from. The toga party.
He's doing the Roman.
Toga.
He's doing the Roman hurl. Purging.
Road work Roman.
He's getting the feather, you know, sticking it down his throat, tickling his little uvula back there and purging. Yeah.
Hey, that sounds like personal information.
I didn't actually see it. I was informed. Okay, so let's take a break. We got some more beers coming up, and this is some old favorites, the Fab T-Birds.
Come clean.
Kim Wilson, Fab T-Birds, Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. They've been playing blues forever, but, you know, people don't really think about them as a blues band. And yet, they are. I don't think, what's his name, Jimmy Vaughn is with them anymore.
Oh, really?
No, I think he cut out. But I have to look into that. But it's still good to hear them. You know, that's fairly new. They're still putting out albums, even though they're not getting airplay anymore. But
are they touring or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I came through here not too long ago. So we're cracking open our next beer, and Rick was getting
all...
The
next beer's name is Yum.
Yeah, so it was like Rick was getting all giddy and
red
excited.
Rum. Red rum.
This is good stuff. This is, have you got some marketing speak on this, Rick? Fresh Hop IPA?
Well, I can certainly read from the side of the bottle. Let me do that.
Have at it, dude.
Our version of a seasonal IPA brewed and dry hopped with freshly harvested Centennial and Simcoe flower hops. Fresh hop beers can only be brewed once a year during the annual fall harvest. We use the hop cones at their peak of freshness, bursting with flavor and aromas. Each fall, we brew a high tide IPA in celebration of the new crop year. We hope this seasonal IPA will be a welcome addition to our lineup of distinguished beers and be sought by hop heads everywhere seeking something a little more extraordinary. That would be me.
Yeah, me too. Here.
And it's this
I'm loving foam, it, loving it, loving it.
The foam is like clinging for dear life to the glass. The glass is littered. I mean, as you drink it, it's not moving. It's like Cool Whip or something.
I love the bottle. It's got two surfer dudes there holding surfboards, and there's a picture of the hop fields, and it looks like a big wave of green hops coming in.
Okay.
Getting ready to go surf on the hops, man.
Well, I've got some more information about High Tide, and it's funny, it doesn't mention Simcoe. It does say, though, that the malt's two row. That's it. Kettle Hops, Amarillo. The Whirlpool, they're adding Centennial fresh hops. The dry hop is done with Chinook. And when I first took a big slug of it, I thought there was some Cascade in it, but it's the, I'm guessing it's the Centennial that's really getting that kind of citrusy, that nice bite.
I thought there was a little sense of me in it.
Yeah, I know. Mike said, this tastes like some kind bud. And not Budweiser.
It was definitely tasty, that first little aroma.
The first hit.
Yeah.
Does not taste like bong water though, right?
No, far from it.
Okay. So this
not that I would know what that tastes like.
It does have a little grassy flavor, and on the dude scale,
you said
it has
grass.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, it does. It kind of crosses that line and ping pongs, you know, to me when I'm having like IPAs, it's either real citrusy or like you said, Rick, that grassy. And this is kind of like driving back and forth between them. It's a good beer, and it really, really is. And there's the freshness. Yum. Can't beat that.
I don't think the malt flavor is what they're trying to hit here. And that hop is definitely doing it for me.
And we had an offline discussion about the music to pair with this. Music to drink High Tide by is?
The Outlaws. Green Grass and High Tides Forever.
Grass and high clouds forever, castles of stone sold in glory. Lost faces said we adore you, as kings and queens bow and play for you.
Man, how can you not like that?
Slow Outlaws.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so the beer then, scale 1 to 10.
9.5.
Rick?
Peeking on the dude meter, it's a 9.5, 10, right?
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. I'm going to go right up to a 9. Right up to a 9. No further, because I'm afraid to go any further.
You're like Buddha, or is it Confucius? Somebody says there's nothing, no such thing as perfection.
Yeah. Well, you want to have a little flaws. The flaw in this beer, it dirties up your glass. That's it. It gets foam all over your glass. Bad beer.
Bad beer, sit. Sit, bad beer, sit.
Roll over. So how about them homebrewers, huh?
Man, yeah, got it going on.
Rick's got stuff going. You got a bunch. You just
Mike, I got two going.
Mike sent me a text. He's got my favorite beer he makes, the three-hearted ale going.
So little good. Clone off that two-hearted ale that you like so well.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, now we won't have the root beer influence, so I don't know how it's going to taste, but we'll find out. And I'm
Mike,
looking
is that
forward
a kid
to it.
Or is it all grain or what?
Well, I did, believe it or not, I did not do an all grain on this one. I did a extract, but I think it's going to turn out pretty good. It smells great.
Yeah,
just in the fermenter, it smells awesome.
Yum.
And then I did a holiday spice beer with the nutmeg, cinnamon, allspice, mace, orange peel, vanilla. Man, it's got everything but the kitchen sink in it.
And damn.
And it smells delicious. So I'm looking forward to
did you come up with that, or was that something you read?
It's just a recipe I got off the internet. You know, the internet's got to be right. I read it on the internet.
It must be true. Yeah.
That's the source of all knowledge.
Yeah.
Actually, Rick, that recipe came out of the magazine. Is it Zymergy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out of there.
Zymergy.
Mike Lee gave me the recipe out of the book, and then I just kind of got on the internet, started searching spice beers, and kind of put a little twist on it.
Mm.
So I said, more's got to be better. So I just started throwing in everything, all the spices that I could find that were considered holiday spices, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Will this be ready for the association party?
Oh, no, we already had that.
Yeah,
we had that last weekend.
How'd that go?
It was medium. We had a fairly good turnout. We did a poker run where we picked up a couple cards at each house. And
I had a great time.
And that type thing.
I had a wonderful time.
What were you doing?
I was in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I dodged the neighborhood party bullet.
Yeah, the neighborhood party, it was okay, you know, catching up with all the neighbors and stuff. And I brought some beers with me. And then we ended up at Tom Mascari's, and he's always got good beer. He had some... the new Bud craft beers.
Oh God, really?
And some of them were pretty good. They've got one. It's a winter bourbon something or another.
Oh yeah, I've had their bourbon one.
Yeah,
but they kind of jacked with it. And they the last one I had, they added vanilla extract. I mean, you could tell it was vanilla extract.
This one that I had was pretty good. He had Sierra Nevada and Harpoon Ale,
all the
regulars, all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he took care of us.
Well, while you were doing that,
oh. Believe it or not, he brought out a gallon glass jug of homebrew. And you know when the last time he homebrewed was?
Summer?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Damn.
And it was an IPA.
Seriously, the guy is a slacker. He's the guy who turned me on to brewing.
No shit. And he, that IPA, it was an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes.
He made Vinny Chilaruzzo, Russian River.
That's right. He did a Russian River clone, right?
I think that's what it was. It was good, guys. It was really good. He says this beer is going to be so flat, it probably won't be worth a damn. He starts pouring it in the cup, and it just foams over, you know, just billows. Yeah. I'm like, hey, man, that thing's got carbonation.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a Pliny the Elder recipe, and he did that quite a while ago, and it was horrible when he first tapped it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it aged
well. It did well. It really did.
Now, I hate that I missed that, but on the other hand, I was sitting at Uno Pizzeria in Chicago, where they invented the deep dish pizza.
Wow.
Enjoying a couple of Goose Island beverages. Had the Honker's Ale, always popular.
Not bad.
And I had their seasonal, the Harvest Ale. But I got to tell you, I was underwhelmed.
Really?
I like their beers. I like Honker's Ale especially. But this, nah. I don't know what the hell they got into, but it just wasn't good. And, you know, like you were talking about your beer and the spices and stuff. Mm-hmm. It left a little bit to be desired. But, you know, you can't always hit a home run. I guess unless you're Port Brewing, apparently.
Amen, brother.
This is some good tasting beer.
This one is if it isn't a home run, it's a double off the wall.
Well, Rick, what do you got in the fermenter?
Well, I've got a long and short story decided to do a smoked beer, so I bought the all-grain kit from Northern Brewer for the Roush beer. The thing is, I really wanted to dose it with a hit of fresh smoke, so I went ahead and went on the internet and found a place that supplies beechwood for smoking. So I ordered like 5 bags of beechwood. It's also what Anheuser-Busch uses to age their beer on cheap, but it's in Bamberg they smoke the beers with beechwood.
That's the beechwood aging they refer to, right?
They call it aging on cheap. I don't know. Anyway, I jury-rigged a cold smoker in my backyard, and it's got a cardboard box and a long dryer hose and stuff. So
you were like coal smoking then. You weren't good hot.
And I really want to make a lox. That's the cold smoked salmon.
Yeah. Which I think you were working on that.
I'm smoking some. Oh, shit. Glad you remind me. I got to go check my salmon. I'm smoking some salmon. It's not cold smoked.
But isn't it kind of hard keeping them lit? You got to suck on them really hard.
And where do you get rolling papers that size?
All right. So was that the long or the short story?
That was the medium version. I could go into details about where you could buy the beechwood chips.
And you also segued into the fish story, too, which was pretty good. That was a bonus. Well, what else? I know you got more than just that going on.
No, I don't. I haven't brewed since I brewed for the World Brewers Forum in October.
You're slacking off. You're busy drinking all the fruits of your labors, aren't you?
I've got cakes and cakes of this stuff. I need more friends.
Sucks to be you. Okay. If anyone would like to be Rick's friend.
If you live in the Colorado area, call BR549.
Yeah, that's help good. Me drink this stuff before it goes bad.
That's right. You could give to any charity, but you need to help save Rick's liver. Come over and drink his beer. Ah, brother. All right. Well, let's polish this off and enjoy our next beer we got coming up. We got 2 more coming up.
You got some Blondie queued up, right?
I got some Blondie queued up. So this is because we were talking about obviously the Outlaws was the one, but the one that popped into my head, and we'll just play a little semi-white girl reggae.
The tide is high.
good stuff, man. Port, port is my friend.
So we are we've cracked open the next one. Old Viscosity.
Yeah. 30 weight.
And Rick has some prose from the writers at Port Brewing, right?
Reading from the side of the bottle. Everyone always asks us, what kind of beer is Old Viscosity? We have to pause for a minute.
That's all those people from Wisconsin, I believe, that asked that.
I think Rick is high.
I'm catching a buzz. We have to pause for a minute here as there are restrictions about how you can and can't describe beer on our beer labels. Since you've already asked, we decided to tell you that it's thick, as in my chest just grew a wool coat, or sort of way. It's dark and sludgy, like the old sow doing. What? Oozing what? From the crank of that old truck. Beers like Old Viscosity are revered like old school pieces of equipment we know and love. The ones that cause people to say they don't build them like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We know you'll come to love and appreciate everything about Old Viscosity, even if we never tell you exactly what kind of beer it is.
Okay. Well,
deep.
Yeah, I've actually got slightly different stuff that elaborates a little more.
Okay.
It says that Old Viscosity blurs the boundaries of porter, stout, old ale, and barley wines. It is a blended beer, like, and you know, we said this multiple times on the shows about porter being referred to as the entire butt and the three threads, which was a mixture of old and new beer. This is. Old Viscosity starts out with 80% of the packaged beer produced from a stainless steel fermentation. It then joins another 20% barrel-aged Old Viscosity from a previous batch that's been aging in bourbon barrels. The blend of the two beers yields an incredibly rich and luscious ale that reveals chocolate and cocoa notes melded to silky body of burnt wood, vanilla, and ash.
Right on, dude.
It's tasty.
Okay, I have a beer liquor pairing: Old Viscosity and bourbon.
Yeah, there you go.
You know all that you read just there.
Yeah,
you use your mouth prettier than a $2 whore.
And the on that note,
you're making me moist.
Are you getting verklempt? Malts: two row wheat, domestic, and English crystal. Cara 3 and chocolate malts. Hops: German Magnum. Magnum. That's Magnum.
Magnum. P.I.
The yeast: White Labs California Ale and proprietary yeast strain. So they just have all kinds of fun.
This is a good one.
You know what the code name for this is? The brewers call it
10.5%.
The Big Black Nasty.
Wow.
10.5% ABV. Yummy.
Man, that's cool.
It's a very tasty. It's not, you know, when it tastes, it's got a real bold, rich taste,
yeah.
But it finishes pretty clean.
It does. I mean,
yeah,
no.
So we had Shark Attack, which was hoppy, mm-hmm. red beer. And then we had High Tide, which was fresh hop, hoppy beer. And then we have Old Viscosity.
Yeah.
Smooth,
it's got a subtle hop note.
You just don't get a whole lot of alcohol when you drink this beer either.
I've got a little bit of alcohol in the very back of my throat after I finish and I don't drink anymore for like a minute. It kind of comes in. But yeah, I mean, but while you're drinking it, no, you don't. You really get – it's like the little subtle cocoa notes. Not a lot of coffee. A little bourbon, a little cocoa.
I'm getting a little coffee in the aftertaste.
Maybe a little, in the aftertaste.
The bitterness.
Yeah, it is. It finishes actually kind of reminded me of Starbucks in that burnt wood.
Yes.
I got a little burnt wood there. It's very interesting beer. You can just take a drink and then just say, okay, what am I tasting now?
Yeah, take another sip. What am I tasting now?
What are you thinking, Rick?
It's good to give to your friends as a gift, and it's also good to have a shot of bourbon along with it.
Mm.
I have one question, though.
Yeah.
What's bugging Mike?
Well, wait a minute. We haven't finished yet, though. We're obligated now. You're leaving something important out. I know you want to get to it because we know Mike's tuned up. He's ready. But musical pairing with this fine beer.
Oh.
Old Viscosity. Come on, reach for it. Mike and I looked at each other. We both said the same thing.
Yes, we did.
No? You're not with us? Okay. Mike, what are we drinking? What are we listening to as we drink this?
Thick as a brick.
It'd be thick.
A little tall.
Good choice.
Little Jethro Tull.
I heard you guys playing that. I was wondering why you were playing that. A little Jethro Tull. Awesome.
It pairs well with Old Viscosity. Thick.
The only guy that plays flute on rock and roll.
There he is.
As far as I know.
Yeah. But you know when he slams the flute down on the stage and stuff? Yeah. It's just nowhere near as cool as a guitar.
Man, you aren't going to believe this. One of my first concerts I ever went to was Jethro Tull. And Ian Anderson comes out here in Memphis, Tennessee, Mid-South Coliseum, comes out in a full bunny suit. Not bunny Playboy suit. Bunny, but yeah. Bunny suit.
Like Easter
with
bunny.
The footies
yeah.
and all that yeah. in it, you know. And he's jamming on the flute.
Yeah, and the people on the acid were going,
they're,
oh!
Yeah, they're rock, man.
You go, Kix Rabbit.
Tricks are for kids.
Tricks, right, not tricks.
Not that we know it being on acid and going to a concert's like.
Nah.
We've heard, though. We've heard stories. Right. Okay, so Rick, what was it you were just saying?
What's bugging Mike?
What is bugging Mike? I'll tell you what's bugging Mike. Let me tell you. I don't know how to get this started.
You're all choker.
I'm all choked up. I'm just really pissed.
Can I help a brother out?
Help.
The music we've been listening to is very timeless and classic.
Yes, and
it's
the
based
music,
on music,
music
and
today,
lyrics.
Music today is just killing me, man. I was doing some looking for lyrics and stuff like that, and this comes up and
for the word thick, right?
Or
oil or something.
Well, I did like thick music or something like that. But this came up as Jill Scott, Crown Royal is the name of the song. Mm. And she says, your hands are on my hips, pull me right back to you. I catch the thrust to give it right back to you. You're in so deep, I'm breathing for you. I got to stop right there.
Oh, you're stopping?
I got to stop. I mean.
You read a lot more now.
Yeah, I know. Look it up. Look it up if you want to look it up.
It's about screaming.
It's about making out and getting down with it and doing the dirty. And
doing the old nasty.
Yeah.
And this is Jill what they're Scott marketing is. To our junior high school kids.
It That's is. Right. And they're all doing it, and they're all humping each other and having babies, and it's just it's unbelievable.
The average birth age of the single mother in Shelby County, 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We're real proud of that fact.
Man. So, guys and girls, we got an issue out there, but, you know, I don't want to put a damper on the show. But.
Well, let me throw something out to you. Now, you know what each of those cool lyrics has on the front of the CD, right?
What's that?
Our good friend of show, Tipper Gore, back in the day, said, well, you know, with not Comac. She got into that too, but she got into this big deal about the record labeling. Remember,
uh-huh.
Dee Snider, a Twisted Sister, went and testified before Congress about what is this bullshit,
right. Yeah.
right? Well, the record industry lost, or did they?
Yeah.
Because no sooner than those parental warning explicit lyrics. Sales went through the roof.
Yeah, you made it where it was something that everybody wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be a totally mixed blessing, and I'm sure Tipper never saw that coming.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
She thought all the rest of the world was just as
well. It's the same thing with all these games, all these video games that have a teen rating.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 6 and 8 year olds playing games that are designed for teens and adults, and
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I love a good car chase and shit blowing up and half naked women running around. I mean, I'm a all American male.
Yeah.
I love that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But you gotta draw the line at some places, and I think by and large most parents.
But you know
do.
What it's called? It's parenting.
It's called adult entertainment, and that's what it's for, adults. It's not for our junior high school students.
Well, but that's the thing, though. It works so well on adults. I think they're, like, trying to, like, okay, well, the kids are getting
the kids want to be adults. That's They want to grow up. They want to grow up quicker than they are.
And the thing is, everybody who is an adult, they say the same thing to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Don't grow up.
Yeah. Yeah, be a kid.
Hindsight's always 20/20. Yeah. They think that's just cool.
Do as I say, not as I do. How about that?
But you got a good point, though. I mean, and the thing is, you desensitize them to all this stuff, and then they get more immune.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that contributes to all the little kids having kids and all that. But what the hell?
Well, you got Britney Spears and Jamie Lynn Spears, and they're all having kids and babies. And
although, you know, we bitch slapped her.
Yeah.
For quite a while. Have y'all noticed she's trying to come out and redo her image?
Yeah, she's re.
She's cleaned herself up.
She's done well. Yeah, lost a few pounds.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
And got sexy again, so sex sells.
But do you think she'll maintain?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because sex sells.
She'll blow up.
She knows that the faucet will be turned off unless she keeps that shiny little body. And shakes her booty out in front of public.
Well,
and I guarantee you, though, let me tell you what's going to happen. There'll be instances of inappropriate conduct and
with her.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
so you think she's still going to backslide?
Yeah, you'll see her out there, but I mean, she's always going to stay sharp and you know, write a song here and there and do her little videos.
Wait, she isn't going to write a song.
Well, somebody will write it for her.
Yeah.
But you know,
she'd write a single one.
That way she can get that money coming in. But I guarantee you she'll backslide only because it generates interest.
Now, have you heard her new song?
I think I saw it on the internet.
I've heard it. I listened to it and I thought, okay, formula, hook. Okay. And she's got an interesting little hook in there with the phrasing, but it is a formula song. I mean, it is right out of the mill. It's just like the same basic beats, same thing. Yeah. Although I will give her this, though.
Well, it's all done on computer and synthesizer. Yes, let me spit that out 10 times fast.
But
say it again.
But I will give her a little credit for one thing, and I think honestly, I was kind of surprised, and I was waiting on it. These kids that come out now, and Christina Aguilera, she used to be a great singer. Then she veered into this kind of like hook, and this Rihanna chick does it. But they all did these like kind of emo, kind of hooky voices and sings like not
– Emo or Elmo?
Emo, like emotional. But this was the first Britney Spears song I heard that wasn't. She was almost singing. Legitimately, instead of her, you know, bullshit hook and things like that.
Yeah, they all do that synthesizer crap and,
get
their voice fluctuating and all that crap.
Eric Clapton, in his autobiography, which is a must read, if you have not read it, you really need to read it. It's eye-opening. It's really cool. He just seems like a hell of a guy. Well, that's one of the guys I'd like to have a beer with. He said, 98% of all the music is shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And so now when I listen to him, and it's like, I hate to say this, that the Britney thing, I'm sure, is doing really well, but it's calculated to appeal to that tween and teen.
It's marketing.
Demographic.
They're shooting for a demographic to sell money, make money.
She's selling out, but she got to pay for, you know, for them babies.
Yeah.
She pumped
and
out.
And husband, and it ain't working.
Yeah.
And think about this. If he says 98% of music is crap.
No, he said shit.
Or shit.
No.
Okay.
It's in his book.
I gotta take exception. Kevin Federline is a true talent.
Yes.
Well, that's true. And a snappy dresser, too. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I love the hats that he wears.
The white hat, the white suit, and the white wife beater shirt. Yeah. That's a good look.
Hey, it goes together. Yeah. But when you say that Eric Clapton says that 98% of music is shit, 2% of music, that's a lot of music.
It is. If you go look.
And if I look at all the music that I like, I mean, mm-hmm. I can see that 98% of music is shit.
Yeah. But I think the 2%, like you bring up a good point. There's so much music
out
there.
Yeah, there's a ton
It's
out
not
there.
Just on your local FM station. So you know what? We need to
Which is why people listen to Big Bummy Head.
That's right.
I mean, where does Andy Tennis and his Black Oak, Arkansas fall in there? That's 2%, the 2% that we like, right?
Well, we're going to have to ask Andy. Yeah.
We need to get him back on
corresponding.
The show.
We're going to bring him back. Rick, we were talking about music. We need to cue some music here.
That's the Class and Culture segment, and tonight we're going to read the "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." "'Twas the Night Before Brewing" by Chipper Dave Butler. This can be found in the Northern Colorado Beer Examiner. It's a long prose. We will record the entire thing and post it separately, but I want to read a few stanzas. "'Twas the Night Before Brewing. The brewers did feast. Not a creature was stirring, except for the yeast. The bombers were hung on a bottle tree with care, in hopes that new homebrew would soon be there. The brewers were writing their recipes in their heads, while visions of Doppelbocks danced on foamy heads. And Mama in her brew boots and I in my ball cap had just drank one down before a long winter's nap. When out in the kitchen there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my hotbeds to see what was the matter. Away to the kegerator I flew with a flash, tore open the freezer, and hid all my cash."
That Santa's robbing some bitch.
"The beer was hoppy and dark, a right jolly old brew, and I smiled when he bottled this after Santa Claus visited. It was then that I knew a push of the wand and a squeeze of the cap soon let me to know I had homebrew, not sap. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the bottles and turned with a jerk.
Did what?
And pointing his finger aside to the brew and giving a nod, out the door he flew. He sprang to his truck. To my wife he gave a whistle. And
come
away
here,
he flew like a drunk on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, happy homebrew to all, and to all a good night." Class.
Yay.
And culture.
And Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
So happy for Hanukkah. For the non-drunk reading in full stereo quality, visit BigFoamyHead.com.
And Rick, Feliz Navidad, everybody.
We have the entire version. Rick is going to read all 49 paragraphs.
Ooh, I'm glad I don't have to stay up for that one.
Yeah, gather the kids around and play that right before they go to bed.
That's kind of like that baby that's crying. You know, let them listen to that, and that'll put them to sleep.
That's it. That's it. The melodious tones of Rick Akerbaumer.
Cheers, Rick.
Oh, man. This old viscosity. Okay. Time to rate. Old viscosity. We paired it with thick as a brick. What's our thoughts on this bad boy here? This beer, which has no description. They're not calling it anything. They're saying it's a blend of, it could be a porter, stout, old ale, and barley wine. It's a very, and it spans all of those.
You know what this reminds me of?
Your Jethro Tull concert?
No.
Britney Spears?
You know, when you're out of money and you don't have a lot of money, you just kind of go to the bar and you're sitting around and the bartender says, "Hey, you can have that stuff that's left over in the trough there.
The bar mat?
Yeah, you can have the bar mat. That's what this reminds me of. It's pretty damn good."
Oh, no. You need to be smacked upside the head. This is
No, it's
classy.
Much, much better than that. I was this trying to make a joke.
This is delicious.
This is really good, but it's got, like you said, it's got the alcohol, it's got the malt, it's got the hop, it's got it all.
And it's got the bourbon.
Yes, it does.
All right. So, all right, Rick, what do you? What's your number on this baby here?
Strong 8.5. I'm really liking this. So the old viscosity, it's doing me right. I mean, it's a definite difference from the two hop bombs we tried before this. But
it is.
Nice. I enjoy a dark beer.
It's not going to be an everyday. It's not an everyday drinker. It's too much.
Boo hiss.
What, you drink it every day?
You're damn right. I drink for
All
breakfast.
All right, well, Mike, then what is your number?
I'm going a 9. I'm going.
You're
a nine.
I'm okay. Okay. I'm going to go right in between
Mike's
you guys.
Mike's an imperial stout drinker.
I know. I love the stouts and porters.
I know you do.
Man, I do.
I know you do.
And they did a damn good job on this one.
They did a fine job. And it's kind of interesting that they don't want to say what they think it is. And the way that they, you know, the way that they read it, I love this. They said 80% of the packaged beer from a stainless steel fermentation, stainless steel, then 20% barrel aged from a previous batch. It's classic, although they're one short, they're a classic porter style, except for one. Mm-hmm. They're bourbon barrel aging it. They've got the grain bill, it sounds like, of a stout, the alcohol of a barley wine,
yeah,
and that old
10%.
Ale's getting a little tiny twang. Mm-hmm. Beautiful beer. I'm going 8.75.
I can dig it. I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. It's
anytime you can put that much flavor in a beer, mm-hmm, and that much alcohol in a beer, and it doesn't just blow your taste buds or just make it undrinkable, because there's a lot of beers out there that are real high in alcohol, or they're just so much high in malt, or they're too sweet or too bourbony or too whatever.
Yep. Yep.
This one has a real good level of everything.
Yeah. This is a must-try beer.
I agree.
Everybody needs to try this. It's
Rick said something about giving it away as a gift, or was that the other one? I can't remember.
Oh, no, the Wipeout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This one, too.
No, I mean,
this, give,
you should give it away.
Oh, this one?
As a gift.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Just
to
let you guys know, I'm finishing the bomb by myself. So.
You demand.
Rick's going to be ruined. I tell you, the one thing I'm lamenting, the only problem I got with this beer is there's none left. Good stuff.
Carol's going to get lucky tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. Hagerbomber is a lucky woman, sir. Okay. I don't know if you've seen that commercial, the credit card commercial with Santa, Capital One.
Oh, yeah.
And Santa and the elves, and the little elves going, Mrs. Claus is a lucky woman, sir. I love that. What's in your wallet?
Pairing, guys. Your music pairing.
We did that. Thick as a brick.
Thick as a brick.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was perfect. That was a good, it was a good call. Good call on that. And Mike and I had an epiphany.
Mr. Rick, do you have anything different that you would like to suggest?
Now that you've had time to think about it. Perhaps a medley of Alan Thicke tunes.
Thicky.
Actually, Jethro Tull being an Englishman and porter being an English style.
Yeah.
And stouts being English style or Irish style.
I think we hit it. I think we hit it. I agree.
You guys are perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we wind this up, and our promise to you, our gift to you for the upcoming year is more Big Foamy Head. Hopefully we won't have any more Russians hack the shit out of us. And hopefully if you haven't resynced, well, if you haven't resynced, you're not hearing this, so it's kind of a moot point. But tell all your friends and family to go back to iTunes and resubscribe, because apparently the Russians screwed us up. And more stuff coming. A lot of interesting things we've got on tap coming up. We've got a Robert Johnson retrospective coming up. We're going to touch on blues. We're going to touch on beer. And we're going to even get into some barbecue. I wish I was having some of Rick's smoked salmon right about now.
Just pulled it up. It's very nice.
Oh,
you did what?
You pulled it up.
I just pulled it off the smoker.
Pulled it off. Cool.
So we're gonna segue out of here with a cool cat that Mike found, and man, he just found us a good one. Winoni Johnson, and keep on churning
into
until the butter comes. we're gonna skid on out of here, and more stuff to come. Oh, just stay tuned. All right, see you next time.
Drive safe.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on pumping, make the butter flow. Wipe off the paddle and churn some more. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. Cows in the meadow, sheep's in the corn. Take the sheep, leave them be. Bring the finest brown cows straight to me. Keep on churning. till the butter comes. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on pumping, make the butter flow. Wipe off the battle and churn some more. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on pumping, make the butter flow. Wipe off the battle and churn some more. How now, brown cow, keep on eating hay. Go in your shed, be sure you're fed. Go in your shed, be sure you're fed. Daddy needs butter for his shortening bread. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on pumping, make the butter flow. Wipe off the battle and churn some more. Keep on pumping, make the butter flow. Wipe off the battle and churn some more. I wanted some butter one day. Found brown cow came my way. We kept on pumping. Butter came jumping. I'll milk you cow till my pail is full. Look out, heifer. Here comes your bull.